Blog Talk Radio.
Coach D@mycoachd.net, and we could get
you those CDs if you're interested in them. Again, we want to welcome you. I'm excited on tonight. And before I introduce our guest and bring her into the studio, I just want to I got to share a testimony on tonight. And she didn't know I was gonna do this, but I got to do it because I believe that it's always good to give God the glory, and it's always good to share testimonies. And the mighty woman of God that's gonna come on the show tonight, a guest. I mean, just dynamic. And as I begin to introduce her, you'll know why I say that she's dynamic. I've been knowing her for about 39 years now. We grew up together. We actually met, I think we were both in about the 6th or 7th grade when we met, and we became best friends, and I believe in foolishness and miscommunication and bad choices, our friendship got really unstable, and we both went in totally different directions in life. She went in one direction, and we went in totally different directions in life. And, you know, every now and then over the years, we would happen to run into each other or run into people who knew one of us. And lo and behold, even though we started in the same place, went totally in different directions, God would have it that we ended up back in the same place. And I just thank God for that, because that right there is a blessing and a miracle within itself. It just goes to show how God has our lives predestined from the foundation of the earth. He is in control of everything. And even when we think we're in control, and even when we think we're making these decisions and choices, I'm a firm believer, and some would argue that that's not true. But I'm a firm believer in that our lives have already been lined out for it. And that the choices was already made in the spiritual realm, and we're a manifestation of those choices in the natural. So I'm walking out the manifestation of what was already chosen, what I had already chosen. So with that being said, I want to introduce to the studios a wonderful woman of God. She is a minister of the gospel. She is a first lady, married to a pastor, and they have a up and coming and growing church in Rialto, California, called Cross Centered Christian Ministries. And she is a avid marathon runner. She has run multiple marathons, and I'm gonna let her share her journey with that, which is nothing short than amazing. She is doing things that 16-year-olds can't do. And so that's an encouragement, what she's getting ready to share. And then she's also a licensed dietitian. So as far as it concerns with health and nutrition and the do's and don'ts, she's going to be sharing with us on tonight. I'm excited about that, because we know in the new year we all make resolutions that normally about sometime in March, we're not even keeping to those resolutions anymore. And we're tired. I know I'm tired. I don't know about the audience, but I am tired of the resolutions. I'm tired of the trend diet. I'm tired of the fad detoxes and all this other stuff we do in an attempt to try to control our weight. And I think it all starts with the mind. And if we could change our mind, I think we could change our circumstances as it pertains to our health and our weight and our nutrition. So without further ado, I am going to introduce woman of God, minister, marathon runner, dietitian, Marlisa Miller Pitchford. Are you in the studio on tonight?
I am. Hi.
Well, welcome to Processing the Pain.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. I am so excited. I know you probably heard all the introduction, and this is an exciting show for me, probably a little bit more exciting than most shows because of the fact that you know, of what I shared earlier, how we started in the same place and went in different directions, and God would have it that we would come back to the same place, you know, or meet back, you know, at the same place. And so I just thank God for you and all that you're doing. My listening audience, some people that's listening in may know you, and many probably don't know you. So I'm just going to ask you to take, if you could just share with us, who is Marlisa Pitchfork?
Okay, thank you. Marlisa is a wife, and a wife first to a wonderful man of God, Reggie Pitchfork. And we have been married 22 years, and we live in Rialto. We actually met in Cerritos College when we were in college, and so we're college sweethearts. And so, like you were saying before, you know, grew up in Cerritos, and you and I were friends, and we had like a adventurous childhood. And
yes,
so, right, and so, you know, when people know me as a marathon runner, they always ask me, did you run in high school? Did you run as a kid? And I could, you know, I can tell them no, and you are a witness to that, because we were not running track when we were in high school. And so I am marathon runner, probably a little bit more more than most people would imagine. I know most people run maybe one or two marathons in their lifetime. I am about to run the LA Marathon on Valentine's Day, February 14th, and that will be my 17th LA Marathon. I've run over 50 marathons, and here recently in the last 3 years, I have been doing ultra marathons, which is anything past 26.2 miles. That's a marathon distance, 26.2 miles. And I've done 50Ks, which is about 30 miles, 32 miles, 50 milers, and then just past October was my first attempt at a 100 miler. And
wow.
I got sick in that one, so I didn't finish it. I got to maybe mile 66. So I'm attempting it again. I've already signed up for it, so that's in October. So I do a lot of running, more than the average person. I probably average about 50 to 60 miles in a week's time.
Wow.
So that takes a lot of my time. And then we have our ministry, so you know, we started our ministry. It's been 6 years now at Cross-Centered Ministries, and so that keeps me busy as well. And then also I'm at work. I work 9-hour days. So I'm a dietitian, and so I teach people how to eat. I teach diabetes classes, cholesterol classes. I also teach classes for people going into the gastric bypass surgery. So I have a series of classes that I teach there. And so I see patients in between that. I see patients one-on-one. So whatever their doctor is referring them to that they need nutrition advice, then they send them to me. So that keeps me busy too. So I have a busy life.
Wow. But you know, it's something about when you're in purpose. You know, when you're in purpose, you know, it's just, there's something about it, and it sounds, just even by you sharing with us who you are, I hear the passion. So mm-hmm. What I want to do foremost, because you did share about your ministry, and you've been married for, you said, 22 years, and what I'm going to get into, and I want to talk about, first of all, let's start with the marathon, because, like you said, you didn't run in high school, and, you mm-hmm. you know, that was something you did. When did you first discover that this would be something that you would be even remotely interested in?
Well, I don't know when it came about that I wanted to start running. I think when I went to Cerritos when I went to Cerritos College, where I met my husband, I first started off lifting weights. I would take a circuit weight training class. And how it started was, he was away at college. He went to Oregon State, and he came back. And so he was in the weight room, and I had asked someone if they could go in. No, it was before. Yeah. It was, I think he was still in college. I don't know if he was away at college or still at Cerritos. But I had asked someone to go in the weight room to see if they could get him. And so when he came out, he asked me, he's like, why didn't you just come in the weight room and get me? And I just thought, well, I felt intimidated to go in the weight room with all these athletes. And so he said, you know, you need to take a circuit weight training class so you won't feel like that. And so, I thought about it. So I enrolled in a circuit weight training class. And as I was, you know, taking the class, I would run around Cerritos College. They have like a little grass area. So I would run around there. And the cross-country coach would see me every day. And he said, you know, why don't you, you know, have you ever thought about women's cross-country? And I thought, no, I never thought about that. And he's like, you should consider it. And I just thought, this man, they run all over Cerritos. I see him out there running on the streets. And so I ended up enrolling in a running class. And I liked it. I ended up liking it. And so I just kind of continued it, and I even got hurt. So some people, they get hurt when they run, and they just stop. I even hurt my knee really bad, and I went through these rehabs and everything, and so I ended up coming back to running because I enjoyed it so much. And so after we got married, I wanted to do, like, some 5Ks. So I did a few 5Ks, some 10Ks. And then I had this bug to just want to do a half marathon. So I started training for this half marathon, and I did it, and I felt horrible at the end. My feet hurt so bad, and a half marathon is 13 miles. And
oh, wow.
It just felt horrible. But for some reason, I wanted to, you know, get better. And so I ended up signing up with the Team and Training Leukemia Society to run my first marathon. And that was the L.A. Marathon in 2000. And that marathon, I trained for it. I did it, and it was horrible. It rained the whole time, and I was so scared. I thought, they're going to stop. They're not going to have this race because it's going to be raining. But we ran in the rain, and it took me forever to finish that race. And so I just felt like, okay, I need to do better. I need to do a better time than this. So I found a club in Redlands who I joined, and I have been with this club in Redlands ever since. So they're, you know, the club that I run with every day. I run with them on Saturdays, early in the morning. I run at 4:30 in the morning through the week so I can get to work before. So I run with them. I've been running with them for years. And so I don't know why I like it. I don't know if it's the sense of accomplishment. I don't know what it is. But once you start
running. Well, what I hear, because, and I mean, and for you it's running, but for, you know, for somebody else it could be something else, but it sounds like to me that it's a relentless pursuit, you know, that you just, you know, that was the thing that you found, and it challenged you. You know, and
right.
Some people really like to be challenged, and so this definitely challenged you because to go from that, you know, you actually got involved in this or even got involved in the thought of running in college, and then here it is many years later and you are still running. I want to ask you about, tell us about, and you might have mentioned it in the introduction, but tell us what was your, and I hope you don't mind, like, stop me right now because I'm getting ready to get all up in your age. I mean, so if you don't want me to, stop me right now, but I think it's amazing. And if people ever seen, you know, if people ever see you, no way do you even look remotely your age. But I am impressed with what you told me for your major birthday. Can you share that with our audience?
Oh, for my major birthday? Okay, so when I turned 50, I decided to run a 50-miler. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. So I decided for my 50th birthday, I didn't have a party or anything like that. I wanted to run a 50-miler. So I went, I signed up for Avalon 50. It's over, it's on Catalina Island, and they have a race every year in January. And so I got some friends to help me train, and we went over to Avalon, to Catalina, and I ran 50 miles on the whole island. And so I ended up doing it another two times. I didn't do it this year because we're training for other things. But that was how I wanted to spend my 50th birthday.
Lisa, you mean that you – so when you say you ran 50 miles, you meant that you mean that you ran 10 miles and then rested and ran another 10 miles and rested, right?
No. No, it's continuous. Yeah, and it's hilly over there, Catalina. If you've ever been to Catalina Island, it's hilly. So they have, you know, what they call aid stations that you can stop and get water and food, but you keep going. You don't stop.
Wow.
So it took us all day. It took us about 12 hours.
So it's 12 hours continuous running. You know, and I'm in amazement, and I'm sure there's other people in the line that may have ran marathons and are used to that. I don't know about everybody, and we're going to open up the lines at some point so people can ask questions, but I know about me. And when you say 50 miles, I mean, when you say 50 miles to me, I'm talking about a car with the engine, you know, gas, because I cannot imagine walking, let alone running 50 miles. I just think that's amazing to hear someone that's my age or any age for that matter that could just really do that. I mean, when you talk about 2 miles, for me, that's an accomplishment. And I don't know if Lelaine is on the phone, but Lelaine is also into health and fitness, and she has been anointed and blessed to be able to do it on the social internet, where she every month she has challenges that she gets her people to do, and she does a lot of running too. But she know, just when I talk about doing 2 miles, for me, I'm saying that is rough. Now I'm going to get into something else. Talk about the marathons and stuff. Now what I'm going to get into, and I know this is going to really be interesting because we have a lot of listening audience from all over the world that's listening in on tonight. You are a dietitian. Some people don't even know what that is. What is a dietitian?
A dietitian is a person who, I know people know of nutritionists, but a dietitian is a person who has gone to school. They have taken classes, they are state board certified, they've gone through internship and taken a state board test to be able to practice in their state to help people with their nutrition, whether that is in a clinical setting like a hospital, which most people think of dietitians as the person in the hospital, or outpatient. So I work in an outpatient environment. So anything from diabetes to anything you can think of that is food and nutrition related, I deal with that.
Wow. So food and nutrition. So now I'm going to ask you this, because one of the things that I think is the most frustrating for many of us is, and this show is perfect timing. It really is, because this is the first of the year, and everybody knows that January the 1st, people make all these large resolutions, and always resolutions. I'm sure there's others, but the majority, statistically, the resolution is, I want to be healthier. I want to be in shape. I want to lose weight. I want to get fit. I want to get toned. Whatever those things are, you know, that's kind of like the main resolution that people make. And the frustration with that is that normally once we get into March or the close to February, we're no longer feeling that resolution. We don't feel the motivation, the excitement about it. In many cases, we may not be seeing results, so we give up too soon. What are some simplistic advice? What's some simplistic steps that you could give people like myself who are just looking, that are tired of dieting, tired of considering going under the knife, and just want some simplistic steps to take to begin a healthy lifestyle?
Okay. So first thing, and I'm actually teaching this class with my gastric bypass patients called intuitive eating. And in this class, we talk about letting go of this diet mentality that we have, just rejecting it altogether. And part of that has to do with how we think. So being aware of your thoughts, for example, I might have someone who says, you know, I hate exercise. Well, okay, we need to change that mindset. Even though if you don't like it, if it doesn't feel good, we need to change your words, change how you think about it. Because that is going to give, that's going to cause you to respond the same way where you won't exercise at all, and you need to. And so you might have people who, their mindset, they have to start thinking about what they're thinking about when it comes to nutrition and exercise. The first thing I would say is watch how you think about yourself, exercise, because sometimes we will even, I mean, I even have these challenges when I wake up in the morning, and I wake up early, 3:15 in the morning, I do not, my body does not want to get up. And sometimes I have to talk to it and tell it to be quiet, that we're getting up now. This is the time we get up. And so you have to really be aware of what your mind is telling your body to do. That's the first thing. So start working on how you're thinking first. Then find out exactly, find out what exactly.
Okay, didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm taking notes. I don't know about the other listening audience, but I'm taking notes. So thinking, the thinking process is first.
Right. You have to really be aware of how you are. If you're, say, like, for example, you have, the only time you can work out is in the morning, but now your mind tells you, I'm not a morning person. Okay. You have to, don't think of it like that. Think of it like, okay, I can get up 10 minutes earlier and stretch. I can do that. Okay, you don't have to get up so early, but get up a few minutes early and do some stretching. Do something that is going to contribute to your health. Things like, you know, nutrition-wise, try to, like, maybe eat a piece of fruit every day with your lunch instead of potato chips or cookies. So things like that, little small things that you can change. If you are, you know, a person that, say, stays up really late and think that you can't really go to bed early, start trying to wind down, turn off some of the electronics, because that's just stimulating you, okay? So that can help you when it's time for you to get up in the morning. Try to walk more. You know, instead of at the store, when you have your basket, you take your basket to the car, take it back to where you know, the baskets go. Just walk back and take it back. Things like that that you can do. Park further away from the store and walk. So there are things that we can fit in throughout the day. When you're at work, and we sit a lot at work, try to get up. If you can set your phone on the alarm to stand up and stretch, you know, a few minutes, just so you'll be more mindful of movement. We just don't move enough. I mean, we're in our cars when we drive. When we get to work, we sit. And then we get back in the car and we sit. And then we get home and we sit. And so if we could move more and consciously do that in our everyday activities, I think that would help too.
Wow, okay. So I'm going to repeat and let you have some more, because I want to repeat this for, I think this is some nuggets. Oh, I love this. This is, you know, what you said was manageable. It wasn't overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you could go to, you know, I did a boot camp. You know, that's the trend right now. You know, all these boot camps are popping up. And they're costing people anywhere from $400 to $600 to go to these boot camps. And I'm not saying that boot camps are not good, but I'm just going to say my experience going to boot camp, because everybody around me was going, and I did see some people losing weight, some I didn't. And so I said, I'm going to go to this boot camp, and I'm just going to invest in myself, and I'm going to invest this money. And I went to this boot camp. Well, the first thing when I walked in, I was probably 20 years everybody else's senior. So, I mean, I was the oldest in the class. I was the oldest. I was overweight. I already had joint issues and stuff. So I'm going here, and what's the first thing they start doing? They start doing these massive exercises. And I'm breathing hard, and I'm wondering, okay, if I have a heart attack, do they know what to look for? And what I found in that, it was I think I was a month in. By this time, my feet are swelling. I'm having severe ankle swelling. It just got bad to the point where I had to stop, and they were willing to give me back my money. But I say that to say is that those things could be dangerous from the standpoint that there's no assessment done on a person's health history. It's just not enough assessment, and they want to throw it's like one size fit all. Throw everybody in here and have everybody doing the same thing, and I'm not sure that that's a good approach. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they are usually, when I have my patients and they see me, but then they have trainers or they go to a boot camp, sometimes these patients can't do a lot of the things that they're asking them to do. And so sometimes they can get hurt. And I do think that, you know, some of the boot camps, you might have some people who are knowledgeable about, you know, maybe people that have joint issues and they have to modify their workout. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have, like, really young kids teaching classes who have maybe played sports in college and they want to try to be like a trainer or something. And I just think that people have to be aware of their, you know, their limitations as far as when they first start. You have to start out slow and gradual. Sometimes you might have to do just some stretching just to get your muscles ready for what's about to happen. And, I mean, I don't do, like, a lot of jumping and things like that. I mean, even though running is impact, you know, but I don't do, like, a lot of jumping and things like that. And it seems like there's a, what is it called, CrossFit. There's, like, things with CrossFit. Sometimes people try that and they get hurt. And CrossFit is good if you can do it. It's a really good workout. But most people are not up to that level. So a lot of times we have to start out very gradual and slow until we can get to that level. I mean, I didn't start off running marathons. I mean, I started like maybe with when I was at Cerritos College. I started just running one loop around the grass area, and that's how I started. So I never imagined I would be doing ultras, never. And if you saw my the cross-country coach now, sometimes I see him, he doesn't even believe. I mean, he's amazed that I'm still running and I'm still doing the things that I'm doing. But you have to, if you start small and continue, you will see results. The key is in continuing. And a lot of times we stop for whatever reason. We have to, you know, find that reason why we can keep going. And so I think those boot camps, some of them, they're, you know, they're just difficult. They're hard. They're kind of hardcore.
They are. I'll just repeat this list really quick. Again, like I said, for our listening audience, because like I said, it wasn't intimidating at all. So the first step is stop the stinking thinking. In other words, change the way we think about it. So we have to, so it's a mind thing first. We have to get our mindsets right with number one. So number one is your thinking. Number two is when you get up in the morning to do some kind of stretches. Do if it stretches or what about, you know, just some kind of lightweight exercise just when you first get up in the morning, just to get used to it. something that's going to contribute towards your health.
Right.
That's the way to go.
And you, even
number
if that
three,
is. Okay.
Repeat that, please.
Even if that's even drinking water when you first wake up. I was going to say that, too. Having some water when you wake up.
Okay.
You can add.
Okay, so drinking some water, stretching, just something different than what you've been accustomed to doing that'll change.
Yeah.
The third thing was try substituting chips or candy throughout the day with fruit, a piece of fruit instead of chips or fries, you know, for lunch.
Right.
The fourth thing you mentioned was try going to bed earlier. And basically, by cutting off, that's my issue. My thing is I can't sleep at night. But like you said, if you got so much stuff going, radios and this and that, so that the electronics is just keeping you wired. If you could go to bed earlier, that will contribute and help you be able to get up earlier in the mornings to be able to spend some time towards exercise. Number five, walk more. Park further away. If you grocery shopping, once you get your groceries in the car, walk your grocery basket back into the store. Just start walking more. Number six, move more. If you're at work, you're sitting all day, you're in front of the computer, maybe set a little alarm that every 30 minutes? How often should we get up and walk or stretch? Just to give our body, to move our body.
Yeah, about every 45 minutes to 60 minutes to get up.
Okay. So every 45 to 60 minutes, if you're at work, get up, move, stretch. And I'm sorry.
If you can do that.
Yeah, if you could do that. So those were six simplistic steps that are very easy in starting with something. And, again, that would change your mindset to stretch in the morning when you first get up, stretch, or make a commitment that when you wake up in the morning, you're going to, you know, before you get out of bed, drink you six, eight ounces of water, stretch a little bit. Three, substitute the chips and the fries and that unhealthy stuff for a piece of fruit. Four, go to bed earlier. So if you go to bed earlier, you can get your proper rest and you won't be so groggy when you get up in the morning. Number five, walk more, park further away, be willing to take the extra steps to walk. Number six, if you're at work, you're sitting all day, every about 45 to 60 minutes, if you can, get up, stretch, move more. We are in a very, stationary life now than we used to be. Even our kids,
right.
I'm sure you probably attest to that, you're probably seeing way more kids, I mean young kids with diabetes and stuff, because they're not like we were outside playing tetherball and running up and down the street. I mean, we just was
right.
outside being creative, and these kids are not creative. They're stationary. They're in front of games. They're in front of computers. Even at school, the middle schools have computers that they give them to do their homework assignments. So then again, there they go again. They're in front of computers all day. So,
right.
And we see it. We see it in this upcoming generation. So now I'm going to open up the lines because we do have some callers that may have questions or comments for you. And so if you are listening in and you are on the line and you're listening in to the show and you have a question or a comment for our guest, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let us know that you have a question or comment. And I have one question to ask of you or one favor to ask, that when you do, if you do have a question or comment, once you state your question or comment, please dial 1 again. That will take you out of the queue. And so that will let us know that you're out the queue, because if you ask the question, and you don't, you know, if you dial 1 to ask a question and you don't dial 1 to come back out the queue, you may have another question and we won't know you have a question because you never came out of the queue. So, again, right now we're going to open up the lines. If you have a question for our guest or a comment, dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question, and we will bring you in. And while we're waiting to see if anyone has questions or comments, we're going to continue on with the show. Bernice, can you tell the listening audience, I mean, you gave us some really good pointers here to follow. You teach a diabetes class. What are some things, mm-hmm. because there's people that have been diagnosed with that, and there's some people that haven't been, and I actually know people who never even knew they had it until it was major. It was serious. The issue was serious. They, you know, ended up in a hospital and never knew they had it. What are some of the not that I want to even speak it on people, but what are some of the signs that people could watch for that would be at the very least tell them that maybe they need to go get checked at the doctor's?
Okay, so first thing is any kind of tired, fatigue feeling, or sometimes if you have frequent urination, you have to go to the bathroom a lot. That's one symptom. Some people have symptoms of they might sweat, you know, if they haven't eaten anything, or they might have sweats. They'll sweat a lot. Some people actually have, like, blurred vision. Their blood sugars might be so high that now it's affecting their vision and it's blurry. Sometimes it's weight loss. Sometimes some of my patients tell me that they thought they had it and they were on their, they were trying to lose weight, and then they lost a lot of weight. And sometimes you can lose a lot of weight when you have diabetes. That's one of the symptoms, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we do have a caller. Caller, area code 909, last 4-6-8-1-0. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Hi, Coach D.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening to your guests. Oh, my gosh, I love this show. I love it because I am one of the ones. I went also to, my name is Dion. I live in Chino. I went to the boot camp here in Chino, and I loved it, okay? I loved it. It was, I lost 20 pounds, but it got very, very expensive. So I had to stop going. I'm a runner. I like to run, but I don't like doing it by myself. So that's why I enjoyed the boot camp so much, because I'm with a bunch of people. When I first started going there, they had to help me get up, you know, and then I started learning. I knew how to do the burpees, and I learned all that stuff. It was so much fun. But then I started running, but one of my knees, it started to kind of like hurt a little bit. So what do you suggest? What kind of tennis shoe? Because I like to run. I'm a runner too, but I don't want my knee to start, you know, bothering me. So what kind of tennis shoe would you suggest that I should get?
What are you running now?
I have what kind of tennis shoe is it? It's a running shoe, but it was New Balance.
Okay.
It's a workout. It's more like a basketball type shoe.
Okay.
But I noticed, like, just the right knee started hurting, and I don't know if it was because I'm running on the concrete.
Okay.
You know.
How often do you get your shoes out?
How often do I do what?
New shoes.
Wait, I'm sorry,
I think the question is, Dion, I think you're kind of tuning out a little bit, Marlisa, but the question is, Dion, is how often do you switch out your shoes?
Oh, I this one pair of shoes, I would run like 6 months in them. I didn't, because I would just use them just to run in, and that's it. I wouldn't do anything else in them, and then I started using them when I go to the boot camp. I would use them, you know, for boot camp, but I was running them, and I noticed that my knee would start hurting, you know, so I said, well, I didn't know if it's from the concrete, you know, running on the concrete, or if it could be just I need some, you know, different type of tennis shoe.
Right. So you might need some different type of tennis shoes, and then also you want to try to keep track of how many miles you're putting on those shoes. So anywhere anywhere between like 300 to 500 miles on those shoes. After that, you need to.
Okay, because they weren't even that old, so I don't think I've ran that many miles in them. But
okay,
I don't know. I kind of got hesitant about is it a good deal to run on the concrete, or should I be somewhere on a, you know, like in a park in the grass, or should I be on one of those you know, those type of mats where they have the. I was kind of hesitant because I don't want to. My mother, she has knee problems because she was a runner too. So I don't want to, you know, start having problems with my knees, you know.
Another question is, do you do any strength training?
No.
Okay. Are you able to do any strength training? Like, do you have access to a gym or?
Yes,
like
I have access. I can start going to a gym.
Okay. Because your muscles, even though you run, they need to be strengthened. So the joints, muscles around your knees need to be strengthened, especially if you're a runner.
Okay.
So working on your strength training helps, but you might need a different shoe. Where do you buy your shoes?
From like Foot Locker. Foot Locker,
okay.
And the sports place, Big Five.
Okay, what you want to do? Okay, in Redlands, or it could be. I think they might have one there too. But in Redlands, there's the running center.
Okay.
In Redlands. And you go there, and it's all for running. And they will fit you in the type of shoe that you need.
Okay.
Okay. Because you might not be running in the right shoe. The way your foot lands, you do something called your foot pronates. It lands a certain way. And everybody is different. So
okay.
You have to get a shoe for the way your foot lands. And they can look at you and see how you run, and they can fit you in the right shoe.
Okay. And what's the name of that place?
The Running Center.
Okay.
And it's in Redlands.
Okay.
You have experienced runners there, and you can tell them about any issue you have, and they'll be able to help you.
Okay. Now, do you know any kind of club or anything like in Chino, like I know I heard you say that you run every morning. Do you know of anything like that out here? In the city of Chino?
Yes. Chino has a club, and I can't think of the name of their club, but it's a really big club because I ran a race over there. You'd have to look it up, but they have a running club there. I think might be out there. It's called Snail's Pace.
Mm-hmm.
Might be in Chino.
Okay.
But if you could get with the running club, that would help you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I love the show, Coach D.
Thank you for joining us, my sister. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, that was some really good questions and answers. My goodness, that is just extraordinary. I have a couple of questions. I'm getting some, some chat line information and. What do you think about protein shakes? You know, I know that's a going thing right now, and I've been hearing some negative things about protein shakes and some positive things. And one in particular that I know people that live by it, they're using it, they're losing a lot of weight. But I also heard doctors say that they believe that it's not a good thing because it's causing, in some males, men, for example, it's causing them to have erectile dysfunction, and it's called Shakeology. Are you familiar with that?
I've seen that. One of my patients brought that in, a package to show me. But I've heard of Shakeology. I've heard of it. I don't know the ingredients in it, but I actually drink a protein shake after I run. But I don't know what's in Shakeology that would
cause. Do you recommend is there particular protein shakes or protein powders that you recommend that you feel are good protein shakes to use?
I do a basic whey protein, and I know some people might not be able to have a whey protein, but they're also vegan proteins that you can use too. I use that one because it dissolves really good for me, and I'm usually not home. I'm coming from the gym when I'm on my way to work, so I do a protein shake. But there's a line called Vega. People don't want to do the whey protein. It has pea protein and a lot of vegetables in it, vegetable proteins in there. They can try that. But I would say if you're going to use them, you know, just go by the recommendations or the suggested serving sizes that they have. And it's really just to help you to recover from your workouts.
Okay, so you're saying that's good to help you recover from your workout, because I know a lot of people, me, I'm one of those people, are using them as meal replacements, and that's something they shouldn't be.
Okay.
No, I'm just going to say, is that what you're saying, is that we should not be using them as meal replacements?
No, you can. You can, because Yeah, you can use them as a meal replacement, but I know sometimes people try to use them for 2 and 3 meals sometimes just to get, like, a fast result. So that might be a problem.
Okay.
Because once you get off that, once you stop using that, then you have to still decide or figure out what you're going to eat, and then that's when people start gaining the weight back.
Okay. And then, so you said that these are good for. So I was gonna. That my next question to you was gonna be about muscle recovery type things. So you're saying that the protein shakes can be used and are used for muscle recovery. Are there any other products that's used for, like, especially when people are doing a lot of weight training, a lot of lifting? Is there any recommendations you have? Because I noticed, you know, people are doing a lot of lifting, and generally by the next day, you know, those muscles are tired, they're sore. Is it the protein shake that get those, you know, that helps those muscles recover?
Right, it's protein. So if they don't want to do protein shake, they can do some other source of protein. Some people do chocolate milk, but. I mean, they can do chocolate milk. They can do, you know, if they wanted to actually eat a meal that has some protein in it, they had that time, they can do it. It's basically eating something after your workout, because that recover for tomorrow's workout. They try not to eat after their workout because they think that they shouldn't, but that is actually helping you to work out for tomorrow.
Okay. Wow, this has been just a wealth of information and wisdom, and I know I'm excited. Like I said, I can't talk for the listening audience, but I know I'm excited because I'm going to implement some of these things. And some of the stuff I'm sure people probably know already, but it's reinforcement. Because a lot of times, you know, people just don't know. You know, like I said, you gave us some simple steps to take. That's simple. It's nothing big, nothing major, you know, but just some simple things. Let me ask you, because you also do a class, and I know a lot of, is it just for gastric bypass, or is it any of those type of weight loss surgeries that I know a lot of, and most of those, they have to go through a class now before they're their insurance will approve it, correct?
Right. That's right.
So my question to you in reference to that, if there is somebody on the line that is considering taking that step, what advice would you give them? And, I mean, I know it varies, so we can't, and I want everybody to know that what's been said, I'm sure that what Marlisa is sharing tonight is general information, and so we don't want to, you know, we don't want you to be listening and then all of a sudden you go do something when you already know that you have some health challenges. So we're not telling you to, you know, go stop taking your medicine or anything like that. So you always want to use wisdom, because she doesn't know each individual on the call's situation. But what I want to find out is just a generic. This is a generic answer we're going to get, people. I just want you to know that it is a generic answer. I don't want nobody going and say, oh, well, you know, processing the pain told me, you know, don't die, you know, don't do this and don't do that. We don't want these. We always tell you to use wisdom, seek your, you know, medical attention, you know, go talk with your doctor. But what would I would ask you, if someone was considering, you know, one of those type of surgeries for weight loss, what would be some things that you would tell them? And I'm sure in your class you're telling people, is there some bullet points prior to them making that decision? What are those things that class is provoking them to think or to do before they make that drastic decision?
Well, in the class, they first meet and we try to, you know, we take an assessment. We do a first assessment to find out why they want to have the surgery and why do they think it's going to work this time. And we just go through a series of questions for them. And then once we get them enrolled in our classes, we try to help them with their mental part of the whole process, because when you have that just deals with, you know, operating on your stomach, but it's not doing anything towards your brain, how you think. And so, because after they have that surgery, they're going to have to change a lot of things. A lot of things have to change. So we try to prepare them for those changes. And some people, you know, they do think that, okay, this is just going to fix it and I'll be fine. But you still have to deal with those elements, those triggers that got you there in the first place. So we try to deal with those things. And so we, you know, just try to help them with how they think and how they see things, how their stress level, what do they do when they can't eat, what other things cause them to eat. Are they an emotional eater? Are they a stress eater? Do they eat when they're bored? So different things like that. So we just try to get them to think that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, because I've seen a lot of people that I know that's done the surgery. And, I mean, if 10 people's done it that I've seen, generally I've seen two or three that really, years later, they're still maintaining. I've seen quite a bit of people go through that whole process, all that pain, and turn around and their minds never change. So they go back to the same bad habits, the same bad eating habits, same substance abuse, and they go back to all that same stuff, and then they find themselves back to the obesity that they were trying to get rid of in the first place. And so, and then now, not only that, now they're faced with serious health issues.
Interrupt you, but even if they don't find why they are eating, they can transfer that addiction to other addictions. So we kind of let them know that addiction can turn into gambling. It can turn into drug addiction. It can turn into sexuality addiction. So it transfers.
Wow. See, you never hear about that kind of thing. That's good to know that if they're not dealing with whatever that, so the weight is just, and I get that, the weight is just a symptom of a deeper rooted issue.
Right.
Well, that's great. Well, I tell you, woman of God, Lady Marlisa, I appreciate you so much for for taking the time to come on the show. This has been exciting. a lot of, like I said, wealth of information. It's just been really exciting for me. It's got me fired up because I am, you know, I'm going to implement some of these 6 steps into my daily routine just to help me get back on track. And I'm sure our listening audience has gotten a lot of good nuggets on this. I do have one question before we close because we are at the end of our show. And I know your schedule is so busy. Do you do any type of private counseling, or do you do any type of private counseling as it pertains to that kind of thing, or is that just what you do for work?
I used to a while back, but I haven't lately.
Okay, so if people were interested in private consultations with you in reference to, their diet, what things to eat, what things to get rid of their diet. I know there's certain food combinations that shouldn't come together, that shouldn't be combined. If somebody was interested in something like that on a private level, is that something you would consider doing? And if so, do you have a email or something that someone would be able to shoot you an email if that was something they were interested in?
Sure, yeah, they could contact me through email.
Okay, and if you could just give your email.
Mm-hmm. It is Skinny Miller, that's spelled S-K-N as in Nancy, E, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, and that's at prodigy.net.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that, and then so that's Skinny Miller, SKNEMILLER at prodigy.net. And listening audience, if you have any more questions regarding tonight's show, please feel free to either email Mrs. Miller, or you can always email us or email me at Coach D. It's Coach D at mycoachd.net. Again, that's Coach D at mycoachd.net, and I can always get some information to you. I do have the 6 steps that were mentioned. I'm going to be posting that on my social media pages for those that's listening in that would like to write that down. Again, this has been a wonderful show. We appreciate you so much, Woman of God, for coming out and sharing with us. And we may have to do a part two in March. Just to see how see if people took some of this information and they're willing to call in and give their testimonies as to how steps helped.
Yeah, a follow-up. That would be good.
Yes, and then one of the things I want to make mention before we close the show, you got some good health tips and some good diet tips. One of the things I want to share with you, if you do live in the Inland Empire, particularly the Rancho Cucamonga area, Marlisa and her husband, Pastor Reggie, they have a wonderful church. I went in fellowship with them a couple of weeks ago, and the praise, the worship was off the chain, the word. And so if you are looking for somewhere where to fellowship in the Rialto area, you also may want to check out. And is there a website for the church or somewhere that they could look to get the address and information for your church?
Right, it's Cross-Centered Ministries .org. I'm sorry, .org.
Okay, so that's Cross-Centered Ministries .org. So
right.
If you want to check them out, if you're in the Rialto area and looking for some place to fellowship, please check them out. You'll be, great church. And that's not taking anything away from my church, Pastor Jody, in Chino, California, Praise Tab. I just want to make sure. So if you're in the channel area, check us out at Praise Tab. But we appreciate you again. We are at the close of our show. Thank you, audience, for listening in tonight to Processing the Pain on the MCD Network. We appreciate your continued support. Stay tuned and with the MCD Network as we continue to bring you broadcasts weekly on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Monday, we have Relentless Pursuit with Philandus Harris and Tamika Sanders at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Tuesdays, we have Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon and Coach D, and that's where a sisterhood, we're coming together, and we're dealing with women issues. And tune in on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Thursdays, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you so much, and we appreciate you. Have a good evening. If I seek your kingdom.